Hi, and welcome to the show. I'm Suzanne.
And I'm Emily. Hello, and welcome. We're glad you're here with us exploring the spooky side of the art world. As artists, we tend to work in our studios or become absorbed in our sketchbooks, which can be a fair chunk of time alone. We're glad we can share this time with you. Together, we're creating a community of art lovers around these unique and interesting, and sometimes bone-chilling stories. Thanks for listening.
We're jumping right into the legend of St. George and the Dragon, who is the patron saint of England. This is a story I didn't know much about, but is a tale of sacrifice and loss to an intolerable dragon and salvation not just from the dragon, all wrapped up like a wonderful present at the end. As we go forth, no offense is meant to any religion or any that hold St. George high in regard. We've dug through a lot of research to find a lot of different stories. Going to read you one of the, from what we could find, one of the first renditions that comes from the Golden Legend. While the paintings, statues, stained glass, and other art around St. George captures the intensity of the moment, he's stabbing the dragon, and often it's right before he's stabbing him, or they're hanging around in a glade before any of the fighting starts. The princess is just off to the side, not often in her wedding clothes. It doesn't look like she just looks like she's wearing princess clothes. So, yeah, I don't know how much that would protect them from a dragon.
Yeah, that's kind of weak sauce.
Yeah, exactly. There's more to the story than just him stabbing the dragon. He was a Roman soldier told to kill Christians, but he was a Christian, and he refused to do this and was martyred. Around the 11th century, the dragon was folded into the story. In a thumbnail, here's what happens. The soldier, St. George, comes across a princess in distress. She was left there for the dragon. He saves her by slaying the dragon, but wait a minute, he stabs the dragon. And then the princess leads the dragon back to the city, where St. George strikes a deal. You all convert to Christianity, and I will save you from said dragon, or kill the dragon. And thus it swiftly came to pass that the people of the city were on board. What else are they going to do, you know?
Yeah.
So the dragon seems to be a metaphor for the devil, sometimes referred to as a serpent, which maybe, when considering a worm, wyvern, or the serpent in the story of Adam and Eve in the Christian Bible.
In Genesis chapter 3, in the Holy Bible, containing the Old and New Testaments, and this is the King James Version, which says it's conformable to the edition of 1611, commonly known as the Authorized or King James Version. This is just the Christian Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Ye hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree? Thereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat. And the man said, The woman who thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle, and above every beast of the field. upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim.
I think they're like fighting angels.
Oh, okay.
What's the difference between a cherubim and a seraphim? The difference between the types of heavenly beings known as cherubim and seraphim is their appearance. Cherubim have four faces and four wings, while seraphim have six wings. Seraphim only appear in the book of Isaiah. Their name means burning ones, flying serpents. Seraphim use two of their wings for flight. That's from reference.com. So that's kind of a scary thing to have guarding the garden, something with four faces and four wings. That would be quite the foe.
And a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. That was just Genesis chapter 3.
I wondered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
As you'll be able to tell immediately, this very old story is integrally tied to the Christian faith. I found a lot of ties to the Catholic religion. As we tell the story, we're trying to do so with respect for religious viewpoints. This dragon St. George fought was an extremely large creature that was living off the people of the city. It took four ox carts to clear the dragon from the city after it was killed. That would have been a crazy thing to see. Not the part of the story chosen to be immortalized in art or tapestries. I guess the idea that the devil had been slain and the princess and the hero and most of the city converted was the point, but most of the images I've seen show them in a glade rather than the city. But we'll get to the story so you can see what you think in just a few minutes.
Then like the blind man that God gave back his sight, praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Nintendo's video game Super Mario Brothers shows a screen on completion of a level. You see, thank you, Mario, but our princess is in another castle. While many princesses need rescuing from fairy tales and lore like Sleeping Beauty, Rapunzel. So while many princesses need rescuing from fairy tales and lore like Sleeping Beauty, some princes also need rescuing like the Frog Prince in the original or more original retelling where the princess loses a golden ball. And the frog retrieves it, and she has to kiss him in order to rescue him, I guess, from being trapped in a frog. And the bear in Snow White and Rose Red.
Others like Valkyrie and Brunhilde, at that point, were holding their own as more powerful women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. modern trend has been the empowerment of princesses, encompassing all girls and women with self-rescuing princess concepts. Yes, there are t-shirts. Or, as our Aunt Katie says, she's been there and bought the t-shirt. We find this hero's adventure happen over and over again, and stories and myths around the globe. The hero was invited to take part in the adventure and head into the darkness and unknown. The battle takes place, and the hero emerges victorious back into the light. Joseph Campbell.
The princess St. George saved was able to help out a bit, as you'll see when we read the legend. St. George is said to have participated in the Crusades, which makes sense when you think about the story and what happened with him going back to the city and trying to convert the whole city. He was born in Turkey, but also the dragon was in Libya, so I don't know if he was on tour in his military capacity or how that went. So let's take a quick look at what was the Golden Legend. This was a collection of stories that was, I've read, second in popularity to the Bible back in the day. So in reading from Wikipedia, they say that the Golden Legend is a collection of hagiographies by Blessed Jacobus de Beregem. It was widely read in late medieval Europe. More than 1,000 manuscripts of the text have survived. It was likely compiled around the year 1260, published in 1480. Although the text was added to over the centuries. This was on Wikipedia, translated by William Caxton.
This reading is from The Golden Legend from the Internet Archive, a nonprofit library. So, The Legend of St. George, abstracted from The Golden Legend or Lives of the Saints by D.L. Ashleman. St. George was a knight and born in Cappadocia. One time, he came to the city of Selene in the province near Libya. Near this city was a pond wherein there was a dragon which was poisoning all the country. Whenever he approached the city, he poisoned the people with his breath, and therefore the people of the city gave him every day 2 sheep to eat, so that he would do no harm to the people. When they ran out of sheep, he was given a man and a sheep. Then an ordinance was made that the children and young people of the town should be chosen by lottery to feed the dragon. Whoever the lot fell upon, wealthy or poor, he or she was delivered to the dragon. One time, the lot fell upon the king's daughter, and the sorrowful king said to his people, "For the love of the gods, take gold and silver and all that I have, but let me have my daughter." They said, "Sir, you have made the law, and our children are now dead, but you would do the contrary. Your daughter shall be given, or else we shall burn you in your house." Seeing that he could do no more, the king began to weep, and said to his daughter, "Now I shall never see you married." Then he returned to the people and asked for 8 days' respite, which they granted to him. When the 8 days were passed, they came to him and said, "You see that the city is perishing." Then the king had his daughter dressed like a bride, embraced and kissed her, gave her his blessing, then led her to the place where the dragon was. When she was there, St. George passed by, and seeing the lady, he asked her what she was doing there. She said, "Go away, fair young man, lest you perish as well." Then he said, "Tell me why you are weeping." When she saw that he insisted on knowing, she told him how she had been delivered to the dragon. Then St. George said, "Fair daughter, doubt not, for I shall help you in the name of Jesus Christ." She said, "For God's sake, good knight, go your way, for you cannot save me." While they were thus talking together, the dragon appeared and came running towards them. St. George, who was on his horse, drew his sword and made the sign of the cross, then rode swiftly towards the dragon. He struck him with his spear, injuring him severely. Then he said to the maid, "Tie your belt around the dragon's neck and be not afraid." When she had done so, the dragon followed her meekly. She led him into the city, and the people fled in fear. St. George said to them, "Doubt not, believe in God and Jesus Christ, and be baptized, and I shall slay the dragon." Then the king and all his people were baptized, whereupon St. George killed the dragon and cut off his head. It took 4 ox carts to remove his body from the city. At that time, 15,000 men were baptized, not counting women and children. The king established a church there in honor of Our Lady and of St. George, in which there flows to this day a fountain of living water that heals sick people who drink from it. The king offered to St. George as much money as he could count, but he refused it, asking instead that it be given to poor people for God's sake. Then he made four requests of the king: that he, the king, should have charge of the churches, that he should honor the priests, that he should hear the service diligently, and that he should have pity on the poor people. Then St. George took his leave of the king and departed. This continues, but this is where we'll stop reading.
You said at the top, I think, that it came from Internet Archive.
I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Okay, what kind of dragon was depicted? I can see where a serpentine dragon would be more likely to tie in with the other Bible stories. What is the difference between a wyvern and a dragon? The first difference you'll notice is the legs. Dragons have four legs, while wyverns only have two. The front legs of the wyverns are fused to its wings, very much like arms. Wyverns have limited power, and they are much smaller than ancient dragons. However, don't be fooled. A wyvern is dangerous in its own way. And that is from Wyverns vs. Dragons from Penn State. Worm is derived from an ancient Germanic term. Dragon from the Roman draconum and or Greek drakon, which both means serpent, and drake originates from the same drakon through the Dutch word drake. Wyvern is the same in essence that it comes from a Middle English word for snake and probably derives from the same Latin root as the word viper. Over time, traditions have changed things somewhat, in particular how these creatures lay out in heraldry. Wyverns are a part of some family crests and hold up shields within those crests, and are the only one of these four words with a distinct definition in a standard dictionary. Because of heraldic rules, wyverns have been given a specific and distinct definition legally in England as of the 10th century. Their specific and unique identity has become accepted, and they are now considered to be a separate creature by most people that know the word, whereas the other three are generally synonymous, unless otherwise defined within the particular story or game in which they appear. Wyverns have two smallish wings and only have two short legs that are more like a bird of prey than lizard-like, whereas in Western European tradition, dragons have larger bodies and wings and four legs, and that is how you tell them apart. There is a sea-dwelling wyvern that has a thicker tail that is also barbed, as well as a land-dwelling wyvern that does not usually have a barbed tail. I think today the barbed tail is showing up more often, though the one on my family crest is not barbed. The source of this information is from Balanced Mama at Sci-Fi and Fantasy at Stack Exchange in answer to the questions, do standard definitions exist for dragon, drake, worm, and wyvern?
The word drake is sometimes used synonymous to dragon, but it could also mean a specific kind of dragon. There are different opinions on what a drake is. Any kind of wingless, four-legged dragon? A small or young dragon? Those are also called dragonlings, wormlings, or dragonette. These classifications stem from modern fantasy and are not found in classical mythology. Sometimes they overlap because, according to Jennifer Walker, there are two kinds of drakes: fire drakes and cold drakes. Fire drakes have a fire breath and fiery colors like red or orange. Cold drakes, however, breathe ice and are white or light blue. This classification is most likely based on Tolkien's works, where fire drakes and cold drakes are a way to classify if a dragon could breathe fire or not. Cold drakes simply couldn't breathe fire, but it had no connection to ice. Source is Circle of the Dragon, Drake. Jennifer Walker, What is a Dragon? And that's dragonsfandom.com section Drake. If you've been following the Whispering Gallery podcast on Instagram, you'll have already seen a few paintings. One was from Omar Ryan, and it is of a battle chicken with a mouse of St. George battling the snake. And then the next one that's up there is St. George and the Dragon by Peter Paul Rubens from 1605 to 07. The painting is currently at Museo del Prado in Madrid. So we'll be posting a few more over the next couple of days, and hopefully you'll see some that are familiar to you and maybe a couple of interesting ones.
All right, St. George didn't really meet and kill a dragon, but the story symbolizes Christianity conquering evil and freeing people from death, fear, and sin. And that's from Saint Stories for Kids by Shining Light Dolls Podcast.
I saw the light, I saw the light, no more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Thanks for listening to us share this information on St. George and the Dragon, and hopefully you'll see where it's mentioned in pop culture through books, coats of arms, and even more art. Thanks for joining us.
We'll see you next time with another fun exploration of spooky tales in the art world. Take care.